This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Is your home stuck in a style slump? Well, 2026 is your year because Bob's Discount Furniture has incredible finds that pack a style punch and won't drain your bank account. We're talking statement pieces like the gorgeous Sofia sofa and loveseat with channel tufting and super comfy Bobopedic cushions, or a farmhouse storage bed that hides the mess and still looks beautiful. Want to cozy things up? Snag an electric fireplace and make your home feel like an actual hug. They've even got the latest technology. Their showcase immersive sofa has Bluetooth audio, heated seats, massage, power recline, and LED lights. It's like having a movie theater in your home. Make 2026 the year you love your home. Get your picks in 26 at Bob's Discount Furniture.
Thy ticket, Lady Jennifer of Coolidge.
Well, many thanks, good sir. Heareth my Discover card.
They accept Discover at Renaissance fairs?
Yeah, they do here. Discover is accepted at the places that I love to shop. Getteth with the times.
With the times?
You're playing the lute. Yeah, and it sounds pretty good, right?
Discover is accepted at 99% of places that take credit cards nationwide. Based on the February 2025 Nielsen report.
Making plans with asthma can be awful. It always goes from, that sounds fun, to, in this weather, what if my asthma acts up? I got tired of saying no. So my doctor suggested Dupixent. I'm Rachel, and I'm sponsored by Regeneron and Sanofi to share my story with real patients like me.
Dupixent, dupilumab, is an add-on prescription maintenance treatment for adults and children 6 years and up with moderate to severe eosinophilic or oral steroid-dependent asthma that's not controlled with current asthma medicines. Dupixent is not for sudden breathing problems.
Dupixent helps people breathe better in as little as 2 weeks. And now I don't even think twice about saying yes to plans more, rain or shine.
Severe allergic reactions, including skin reactions, can occur. Get help right away for face, mouth, tongue, or throat swelling, wheezing, or trouble breathing. Tell your doctor right away of signs of inflamed blood vessels like rash, chest pain, worsening shortness of breath, brown or dark-colored urine, tingling or numbness in limbs. Tell your doctor of new or worsening skin symptoms, joint aches and pain, or a parasitic infection. Don't change or stop other treatments without talking to your doctor.
Do more with less asthma. Ask your asthma specialist about Dupixent by name. Visit Dupixent.com or call 1-844-DUPIXENT.
Welcome to Speed City with John Massengill, Les Kaiser, and Jonathan Green. It's the fastest hour on the radio, Speed City.
All righty, the Hungarian Grand Prix is in the books, and we are going to talk through it because that was not necessarily the most dramatic of races. In fact, the result was the same as last weekend, but as we got to that result, it couldn't have been more different in terms of who came through and how, because no one, I don't think anyone, expected Max Verstappen to win that race and, more importantly, walk away from the Hungaro ring with an 80-point lead going into the summer break. I'm Jonathan Green, and alongside Les Kaiser and Bob Varsha's not here, nor is John Massengill, but we do have the very, very, very on-the-moment Chris Medland on the line to give us his thoughts on what was another D-Day disaster day for Ferrari and another really, really good strategic day for Red Bull, Les.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. I'm looking to hear the things that Chris hears in the paddock after the race. So, the highlights to me, Max from 10th spot.
Oh, brilliant.
All the way to the top step on the podium. When he went to that medium in that other pit stop, that's when I was like, I think they called that right. Considering the pit cycle that was going to roll and then the attrition of the hard tires, we saw a few folks go on hards that just didn't make sense. And Anyway, it all turned out.
I never thought I'd be able to say this, but this track opened in 1986, and just a year before, we got what we thought was a miracle win in the 500 when Danny Sullivan spun and won. Spin and win, they used to call it, and now we have another. Max Verstappen just did exactly the same thing, and my word, if Ferrari don't lick their wounds and think what could have been, not only did they not get it right strategy, their opponent was still able to only lose one place by spinning.
Yeah, Danny Sullivan handed over. Got a new spin and win guy here. Max totally nailed it, you know, in the race. I love that, you know, that was a cool situation. But then the other one, I got to say that Russell performed better than I expected, leading 30 laps. I did not expect that from him.
I did expect it, but I felt for him because I felt it was his day, but you're right. Well, let's bring on here that Chris Medlin is in the thick of it in the Hungaro Ring. It's now raining, as we kind of anticipated. It didn't come to the last lap. Chris, your thoughts straight off the bat on what was a really interesting Hungarian Grand Prix.
Oh, Ferrari.
Yeah.
Oh, ouch. That's, it's just... How can you get strategy so wrong so many times? And it just seemed to be a knee-jerk reaction to what's happening behind pit wrong tire. They had an example from Alpine that the hard was difficult, and they got it wrong. But you're wrong. That shouldn't have shut the wall. Try it was for Max. That's it. That was pretty sensational. I mean, we spoke to Christian Horner, didn't we, on the grid, and he said, "Yeah, top five, we'll take that. That'll be where we can get to." This phrase that Ferrari earmarks for why this is hard. We can do that. We can win every race between now and the end of the season to get back in this championship fight, is what Matteo said. Instead, it's a complete reversal with Verstappen winning from 10th. But
well, listen, yeah,
not quite what we were expecting to be.
Yeah, Chris, I'm going to stop you there because we need.
I've got a driver with me.
Go on.
I've got example here, Alex. That look a tough afternoon. Tricky conditions. I mean, it's supposed to be rain now. How's it out there for you?
Okay. We kind of undid ourselves. Well, made it hard after collision that one. So myself to blame. I think it's a tricky one. We kind of, it's hard for us to battle. We looked very easily and went wide in turn two. And the other car in front was coming back inside, kind of preparing turn three. So it was kind of like I was drifting out, he was drifting in. And then it was tricky because you basically have to force yourself to.
Okay, well, we just lost Chris for a moment there. Let's hope he can put some more money in the Pirelli meter. But I am glad to say that Bob Varsha is with us. Wasn't necessarily expecting you, Bob. But what's your take? Oh, hang on.
You've got blue flags. As soon as you do a blue flag, you have to call down players, which you don't want to be doing. It's just an endless cycle of.
We did have, for a moment there, Medlin with Alban there for a second. We've just got a bad connection, Chris. If you can hear me, try to join us again, but keep going because we love to hear from the drivers. Obviously, Alban explaining his woes. But let me bring Bob in here. Bob, your take on what was another disaster for Ferrari.
Well, I'm going to have to get some facts before I pass judgment. I just finished up with festivities in Rome with Formula E. But I had to get back here because my colleague Ryan Marine and I were sort of following the race in Hungary out of the corner of our eyes while we were following the one that we were getting paid to do. So it certainly sounds like another surprising race in Hungary. I mean, did Ferrari shoot themselves in the foot again? When I heard Max Verstappen was up front, I thought, oh, boy, another page in the legend. So, you guys tell me, what did we get out of Hungary?
Well, exactly. I mean, you know, Mark Priestley on the BBC, their pundit for the weekend, was not holding back, quite rightly, and I agree with him. He basically pointed the finger, and even our own Paul Bryan, who writes in and tweets some very good stuff, he said, Binotto, is he using a dartboard? The bottom line is, they got it wrong on strategy. Again, Leclerc and Sainz had the two fastest cars. They just reacted badly to what was going on behind them, and they came in and they chose hard tires and they shouldn't have done, and they couldn't get anywhere with them. And you know, Leclerc went from first to six at one point. Hamilton starts to come through. Verstappen starts to come through. They got their strategy right. There was always imminent rain, but the bottom line is they were just the wrong choices, and everybody knew it. I mean, I've never driven a Formula One car. I've never stood on the pit lane. I don't pretend to profess that I could be a team manager in any way, shape or form. But I'm a soccer fan and I'm happy to you know, talk about the lineup of a soccer team any time of the day because I have played soccer at least. And I will have a go at the manager. And I've got to say, Binotto's had so many chances to get this right. The car is good. The design of the car is good. They've got two of the best drivers in the world. And they go into the summer break with an 80-point deficit to a car that has not been the most reliable. Right. And frankly, they have just taken their chances better.
I question how much is the strategy actually in Bonotto's lap in these
roles?
Well,
that's a question, isn't it?
You know,
that's exactly the point I was going to make, Les, before we hit Bonotto. His job is not to make the strategy. His job is to explain why the strategist that he's paying made the decisions they did. And that is not going to be an easy task in front of the bloodthirsty Italian media during these next 3 weeks.
And we've heard on the radio live and at the time from Carlos Sainz, you mentioned it in the pre-show, Bob, that, you know, don't make up decisions, don't make up scenarios. And now again, Charles Leclerc, you know, I mean, he hasn't said anything. I mean, last week he blew it, but the bottom line is, you know, for whatever reason, they're blowing it week after week. And whoever is making these strategy calls, when everybody else can see it, the Emperor's clothing is not good.
Mm.
So I don't know what happens. They have to have a rethink. But I'm with Priestley on this one. I really do believe, and Ferrari does do this time to time. They will bring out the light night of the long knives if they feel, because you know, Bob, the whole of Italy will be all over the papers tomorrow, all over the media, crucifying the red team because they should be winning.
I think the thing that better happen is Binotto ought to replace his strategist.
Well, he has to. I mean, as a leader, he needs to.
Summer break. He needs to own that, manage that, make it happen, or else he's gone also.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. And it's not good, you know. Ferrari, you know, out of all the teams in Formula One, Ferrari live and die on their performance in Formula One because they are basically a Formula One team with a rather nice road car to go along with it, not the other way around, as in so many other cases. So, you know, if Ferrari can't pull it out, and they've got a beautiful car, I still think it's the best looking car. But it also, you know, when you're second and third on the grid, to not have both cars on the podium when there was no real drama, plus your opponents are spinning, and the guy that starts 10th wins.
Right.
Ugh, it's, you know, I mean, it's pretty ugly. Yeah.
And going to get uglier from the sound of it.
Well, would you go with Binotto's head, or would you go, like Les says, with the strategists?
Oh, yeah, I would definitely shake up my strategy team. Binotto's going to need to explain himself and explain how he's going to fix it, because this has happened too many times now in what, 13 races. Too many times. Now, everybody makes mistakes. Everybody is entitled to a mistake every now and then, but it's happened too many times to Ferrari thus far this season, and Verstappen's threatening to make what was a very competitive season into a runaway,
into a walkover.
Really is, really is. Hey, we can't go too far without acknowledging that Mr. Varsha won our predictions.
Oh, he did?
He came closest.
All right.
I'll say two of the three of his guys are on podium. So Russell and Verstappen.
Horseshoes and hand grenades.
There you go.
Mm-hmm.
Got it.
All right, we'll give Bob the prize for this week then. No question about it. But
well, there's the solution. Make a prediction and don't watch the race.
There you go. That's the easy way of doing
replay.
It.
I guarantee I'll watch the replay.
Well, and also hats off to Lewis Hamilton to beat his own teammate and do it on track, not by strategy per se. And, you know, all right, Russell said his tyres weren't as good in that last stint, but you still got to take nothing away from Lewis Hamilton, who had a DRS issue during qualifying. And were it not for that, he could have been further up the board. But a great way to finish his run into the summer as well.
I'll go as far as saying, had he started out higher up on the grid towards the front,
could have won it.
He might have taken that top step past Max.
All right. How long we got you, Bob? Are you with us?
Yeah, I'll hang in to the end. I honestly thought you guys would be in the waning minutes of this one, but then I thought, well, it is Hungary. And that one, That one goes for a long time, especially if it started to rain, as we suspected it might.
Yeah, and it kept sort of, it might do, and we literally got it under the safety caution of, we went to a virtual safety when Bottas conked out on the penultimate lap, and then we literally got rain on the last lap, so Verstappen was hanging on, but he already had a ridiculous lead by then, so everybody tiptoes to the finish, but it really was a pretty impressive run. Les?
Yeah, the one thing that changed from the flag that we saw, remember Daniel Ricciardo got a 5-second penalty induced over his bump and pit maneuver on Stroll.
Yeah.
And so that took him from 13 to 15.
Fair enough. All right, well, listen, we'll take a short break. We'll be back with more to talk about Hungarian Grand Prix.
As a rider, you know what you like. The power, the feel, the ride. When it comes to gear, you know what keeps you safe. Ducati Austin provides riders with the finest in day and easy leathers, the best the market offers. Visit Ducati Austin on Breaker Lane just east of I-35 and throw your leg over the most iconic sports bike ever built. Ducati. Even take it for a test ride or see what's been described as art on wheels from MV Agusta. You know what you like. See it at Ducati Austin. Online at DucatiAustin.com.
Winding Road Racing is your first and best choice for all the essentials for a great weekend at the track. We're racers, and we love helping racers. With a full selection of racing gear in stock, get geared up with all the safety equipment needed to meet all the latest Snell FIA and SFI regulations. Outfit your car with a comprehensive lineup of racing necessities, and when you need to find a few more tents, turn to data acquisition systems from AIM Sports, V-Box, and others. Austin-based with shops in California, Georgia, and Kentucky, the source for all your racing needs. Winding Road Racing, WindingRoadRacing.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Come to DSW for the shoes, stay for the fun. Because, let's be honest, if shoe shopping isn't fun, are you even doing it right? So go ahead, try something new. Try something different. Good different. Try something that feels like you. You know, the real you. And then definitely brag about it later. Because at DSW, you've got unlimited freedom to play. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
Is your home stuck in a style slump? Well, 2026 is your year because Bob's Discount Furniture has incredible finds that pack a style punch and won't drain your bank account. We're talking statement pieces like the gorgeous Sofia sofa and loveseat with channel tufting and super comfy bobopedic cushions, or a farmhouse storage bed that hides the mess and still looks beautiful. Want to cozy things up? Snag an electric fireplace and make your home feel like an actual hug. They've even got the latest technology. Their showcase immersive sofa has Bluetooth audio, heated seats, massage, power recline, and LED lights. It's like having a movie theater in your home. Make 2026 the year you love your home. Get your picks in 26 at Bob's Discount Furniture.
Thy ticket, Lady Jennifer of Coolidge.
Well, many thanks, good sir. Heareth my Discover card.
They accept Discover at Renaissance fairs?
Yeah, they do here. Discover is accepted at the places that I love to shop. Getteth with the times.
With the times?
You're playing the lute. Yeah, and it sounds pretty good, right?
Discover is accepted at 99% of places that take credit cards nationwide. Based on the February 2025 Nielsen report.
Making plans with asthma can be awful. It always goes from, that sounds fun, to, in this weather,
fucked my asthma acts up. I got tired of saying no. So my doctor suggested Dupixent. I'm Rachel, and I'm sponsored by Regeneron in Santa Fe to share my story with real patients like me.
Dupixent, dupilumab, is an add-on prescription maintenance treatment for adults and children 6 years and up with moderate to severe eosinophilic or oral steroid-dependent asthma that's not controlled with current asthma medicines. Dupixent is not for sudden breathing problems.
Dupixent helps people breathe better in as little as 2 weeks. And now I don't even think twice about saying yes to plans more, rain or shine.
Severe allergic reactions, including skin reactions, can occur. Get help right away for face, mouth, tongue, or throat swelling, wheezing, or trouble breathing. Tell your doctor right away of signs of inflamed blood vessels like rash, chest pain, worsening shortness of breath, brown or dark-colored urine, tingling or numbness in limbs. Tell your doctor of new or worsening skin symptoms, joint aches and pain, or a parasitic infection. Don't change or stop other treatments without talking to your doctor.
Do more with less asthma. Ask your asthma specialist about Dupixent by name. Visit Dupixent.com or call 1-844-DUPIXENT.
Hi, this is Gene Haas, and this is Speed City.
Welcome back to the fastest hour in radio, Speed City.
Welcome back as we start to look at what was a very interesting Hungarian Grand Prix.
You know, I'm not sure Gene's going to be happy with Mick in 14 and K-Mag in 16 today.
No, it wasn't a good day at the office for Haas, was it really?
No, I don't think so.
Well, they tried a strategy. They went on the hard tires. Here's what I don't understand. We all heard from Chris Medland. By the way, we're hoping to get Chris back on. He's just had a bit of a techo problem, but he's going to try and get some interviews for us and join us in a moment. But we all heard from Mario Isla, the head of Pirelli, before the start of the race, rain or not, that the hard tire wasn't working. And all the teams found that out yesterday when they tried it in free practice. It wasn't working. Now, the lower temperatures may have given somebody an idea that it might last a little longer. And so, sure, Haas tried it. What's to lose? But then Ferrari do it. And of course, it fails miserably and they go backwards. So it's decisions like that that are so obviously wrong for a contender that the Red Bull and Mercedes would never have thought of doing that, and yet Ferrari does it. Go ahead, Bob.
Customer team out there, isn't that what you use them for?
Yeah.
Is, hey, you guys put this tire on and let's see what you can do with it. And yet somehow they decided that was the right move. I don't get it.
Yeah, and what is unfortunate is that it's taking the gusto away from what is a brilliant run by Red Bull and Max Verstappen, who, let's face it, won controversially, whether, you know, I don't want to keep digging up last year's Abu Dhabi, but, you know, there's no question he wanted to go and win another title and take it fair and square and show us just how good he is. And he's doing just that. But at the moment, the competition is just not there. I hope this vein of form for Mercedes continues and we genuinely get Russell and Mercedes, forget Ferrari for a second, actually pushing Red Bull all the way, because that's what we want. Because so far, Ferrari have not lived up to the contender, merit, if you will.
Yeah,
exactly. Now, you know, I love the jumbled up mix of cars and finishing we've been seeing this year. Max is certainly leading the pointed end, but seeing Red Bull and Mercedes and Ferrari all dicing around, Alpine is who I think is going to continue to apply pressure. I think they're to come on and finish up stronger than we expected.
No. Well, they were tripping over themselves because right from the get-go, Alonso and Ocon made a move on Alonso right at the start, and that just got the fiery blood going in the Spaniard. And he and Ocon were overtaken at one point by Ricardo. On one corner, both cars taken. So not a good move, but I agree with you. Alpine are coming.
Yeah, I think they need, you know, I'm sure there's going to be a discussion in there of, hey, quit that, you know, go and try to follow each other through and you know, draft if nothing else. But I think they burned up too much effort on each other. And then you had Ricardo, the, you know, Wiley Fox Badger, right, you know, to go jump in through there.
Well, listen, we got a caller on the line. Vince in Toronto is on the line. Vince, what do you got?
I just want to say you guys do a great job. I listen to you all the time when I leave Toronto to drive to my cottage up north. And
we could do the show from there if you like.
Give him front row seat.
I hate you already, Vince.
Yeah, Vince, where's the cottage? Give us the address and the GOP.
In the Lake Country.
Thornberry, Hollywood.
All right, I'm in.
From Toronto to from Toronto to Collingwood. It's a 2-hour drive, and I always make sure I do the drive when your show's on.
Oh, good man.
Oh, Collingwood. Hey. Oh, my old ski racing buddy, Todd Brooker, is from Collingwood, I believe.
Yeah, that's
one of the
right.
crazy Georgian Canucks downhillers.
Hey.
But I was in Hungary in 1997 for the race. I had paddock tickets. Bob, you forgot to mention the nightlife there is unbelievable.
You
know about it.
Well, you
Bob
know,
was
certain
working.
Things have to go. One thing I also didn't mention was the first time I went to Hungary.
Burger. Yeah, we're there.
Yep. I was at that race too.
I was going into the circuit in the late 80s, and there were a bunch of signposts, you know, restrooms this way, pit lane that way, what have you. And one of these signs with an arrow was pointing toward erotic camping.
Ah,
yes.
I kid you not. Erotic camping. I always wondered what that was because, of course, I never invested.
What the hell have we gotten into here?
Yeah.
I had the four days unbelievable in Hungary. I loved it. I'm going to try to go back again, but I'm much older, so those fun days are done. Anyways, keep up the great.
Vince, before you go, are we going over the top with Ferrari? As a Ferrari man, I'm sure with your memories of Mr. Villeneuve, you must be feeling for the Ferrari Tifosi at the moment.
Yeah, you know, I just love the sport, so I don't really have a favorite team, but I did go watch the race when in Australia when Jacques Villeneuve was racing too. I was there as well.
Cool.
But before I got married, I used to go to a different circuit every year. So when marriage clicked in, that was it. The days were done.
Yeah, you tend to get on the same circuit when you get married.
Exactly.
That's why you got to marry a fan. Okay. You got to marry a Formula One fan.
There you go. All right, Vince, keep watching and keep doing your drive to the cottage. We'll try to entertain you on the way up there.
Yeah. I'll make sure I always schedule my drive when you guys are on. Keep up the great work. Thanks, guys.
Thanks, man. Keep listening and keep
try
watching.
The restaurants on Martha's Island when you go back to Budapest.
Ah, there you go.
Ah,
good advice. All right. Well, I'll tell you what. We can't go a show without Corvette Mike. We got to have him on.
We could.
Tell you what. If he's parked up if he's parked up in Nashville, I might join him because I'm going there on Thursday. But Mike, are you on the line?
I am.
What you doing? Where are you going?
I am traveling in the rain, as in the race, here at the end to get to Nashville and put a load of autos off. But I enjoyed the race. I was just kind of pulling there at the beginning, and I said, I'd like to see Russell get, you know, half the lead laps in that race. So he got so close. But, again, it turned around. Max did the spin and win. That was exciting. Ferrari, I guess, is the top of the list on discussion because what are they doing?
I know. It's beyond belief, isn't it, really?
Yeah.
Mr. Varsha, I did catch some of the E this weekend, and you've about converted me to a non-sounding racetrack, so I'm listening.
Right on, brother.
Hey, I got a question for Corvette Mike. He is in the neighborhood now. By chance, are you on 40?
I am.
All righty. When you go through Cumberland County, I want to report on that new big 770-acre racetrack that they're building there.
All
next
right.
time you go through
on assignment.
There. Yep, we're going to give him assignment.
I have not. This is new to me. It's up on the plateau somewhere.
Yes, Plateau Park area, and right there next to 40.
I will put out the feelers.
Yep, just shy of 800 acres.
Oh, I like it. Assignment for Corvette Mike.
Wow.
And it is
it was a new exit ramp.
Yeah, it is a Grand Prix style of circuit.
I mean, you've got the Corvettes. Couldn't you just unload one or
what's
two?
What's a few miles
on
them?
Yeah, I mean,
come on.
Just make sure they all work.
That would be so nice. But I did feel honored this week, guys. I had a load of vets on and was overtaken by both an Aston Martin and a Alfa Romeo this week on the interstate.
Wow, that's fun.
There you go.
Well, you might
pass up a Ferrari on the shoulder with hard tires on it?
Good one, Les.
Too soon? Nah.
No, sorry.
Yeah,
you saw
never
it coming.
Too soon.
Still is the fastest hour on the radio, and we enjoy you guys, and thanks for all you guys do.
Hey, and stay with us, Mike.
Thank
always
you.
Call in anytime you like. We're always interested to see where you are in the country. Keep on delivering those beautiful cars.
Yeah.
Will do, guys.
All right. Drive safe, buddy.
All right.
Bob Varsha, I got to go on. Go ahead. You got something on your mind.
Well, yeah, I do. I'm looking at the results here, and I see a story developing, and it involves number two drivers.
Yeah,
I don't think the driver's title is going to be decided by what somebody's number two does, but I think the constructor's title, where all the money resides, could very well be. I mean, Verstappen's brilliance covers the fact that, you know, Sergio Perez didn't qualify well and moved up, what, six places to get to fifth, but that's not as good as the 1-2 punch that Ferrari put out there. Granted, Ferrari had so much more potential, but they still finished with both cars in the top six. On the other hand, Daniel Ricciardo let McLaren down again. Norris, the only McLaren in the top 10, is seventh. And then the two Alpines, Alonso and Ocon, eighth and ninth. Not a big haul of points, but if both drivers in the team continue to finish close together and they finish in the points, that kind of consistency is really going to matter at the end of the year, I think.
No, you're absolutely right. And I think that's going to, in the end, going to be the more interesting battle is for those important points and money, as you say, for the Constructors' Championship. I think by the time we get to Austin, it's going to be pretty fruity. We could have some erotic camping, maybe, in Austin.
I'm going to leave that to you.
Yep.
Thank you. Our survey said no. Okie dokie. But looking ahead.
Well, how about Sebastian Vettel going into 10th place in his final visit?
I know.
Hungaroring.
And having to do it against Stroll again. Those two just seem to end up next to each other at the end of the race. And a nice little swan song or start of the swan song for Vettel. And who knows? He's unfettered now. Maybe they'll start getting good results.
Yeah.
Well, look,
coming up.
Lots to talk about because we do have a break now. And I wonder in this season of upgrades at sort of what I would call elongated times, we're used to seeing upgrades in Spain and so on. But I've got a feeling we might just see incremental upgrades as this season ramps up into very, very competitive finish.
I think it'll be interesting.
Yeah, you might well. Yeah. You know, speaking of Vettel, the Aston Martin team rolled out, I'm sure you saw, with a very odd-looking rear wing.
Yep.
With two large, I don't know, the only word that comes to mind is burled edges to it that push the regulation to the limit. And I'm sure the aerodynamicists and engineers at all the other teams are saying, hang on, what is this? Is it effective?
Yep.
Should we do one? Should we protest it? You know, that's kind of adding salt to the wound when we're talking about Aston Martin right now, but it shows that these teams are still digging hard, even at the back of the grid, to come up with useful solutions.
Yeah, and Haas just brought their first upgrade of the season just this weekend. I don't think it was a major step forward, and Magnussen didn't seem too excited by it, and it didn't seem to make that much difference between the two of them because Schumacher didn't get it. But I do think we will see sort of incremental and sort of, you know, looking towards the future as well as the now for the races to come.
Yeah, and that wing that you're describing, somebody else described it as like one of the old wooden armchairs that have the kind of rolled off armrest on
it.
And what it does is it actually kind of deflects wind down with pressure to come back up the lift part of the wing, creating more down pressure. So it does kind of a little rock back and forth of that wind to create that down pressure. So it's a really interesting take on it. But you're right, it might be stretching the rules.
Well, listen, our man Chris Medland is working it and has just sent us another interview. He spoke to Mario Eisler, the head of Pirelli Motorsport, to get his take on what was a very interesting Hungarian Grand Prix. Here's Chris.
I told you before the race, the hard tire in this condition was struggling for sure with the warm-up, but also with the level of grip. Most of the drivers were focusing on a medium, soft strategy with different combinations. And there was a bit of graining on the soft that was not completely unexpected considering the conditions and the green track. I would say that the medium was working quite well. The hard was very consistent but slow. That was the only problem. So Alpine tried a one-stop race medium hard. That was an option, and the majority of drivers were using soft and medium with a two-stop.
And how was the medium going to do lengthwise? Because if we look at, say, Charles Leclerc's strategy, he'd gone medium. So would he been able to extend that middle stint long enough to go to soft, do you believe?
We have to check the tyres and see the wear and take some data. At the moment, it's a bit too early to say.
Bit of a surprise to see such variation though today, I guess. Do you think part of it as well, when it's raining, people are worried that they might have to mix it up?
Variations were not unexpected, because talking to the teams before the race, there was not a clear picture on the compounds and how the compounds are working. So when you have this lack of data, then everything becomes more interesting. If you add that weather conditions today were very difficult to read. We had a great tire-wise, we had a great race, but also the race was good in terms of action on track, so I'm happy.
So we just need more completely different changes in weather, temperatures and sprinkles of rain for every race and we'll be fine.
Yes, that's an option, yes.
Perfect. Mario, thank you and have a great break.
Thank you.
There you go. I can't fathom this. He's Italian, Ferrari's Italian, you'd think they'd talk. But anyway, that's just me.
Listen, but do they listen?
Do they listen? Listen, plenty more to come from our wrap-up of the Hungarian Grand Prix. Stay with us. We got Bob Varsha talking about just what just we spoke about just a moment ago, which is tyres, after this.
Hey guys, we are very excited to welcome our new sponsor, Allstadt Brewery, to Speed City. These guys make a fantastic beer, and I'm going to let Jonathan talk about it, but I'm going to tell you about it. When I tasted it, I am not a big beer aficionado. I like a nice cold beer, but I'm always worried about a craft beer or a new beer that it's going to have a funky taste, especially aftertaste. This beer was fantastic. I have absolutely no qualms at all that this is my new favorite beer. But Jonathan, you know why, what makes it so special, the water and the recipe?
Well, yeah, I mean, these guys have done their research and do it right, and they've even imported the right water to do it right. I mean, I tell you, this Allstadt beer, fantastic. And most Europeans are snobs about their beer, and I'm definitely one of those. Because
you're definitely a snob?
Yes, okay. About my beer.
Okay.
because there's no question, carbonation has always been my issue here in the States. It's overcarbonated, and our lagers, our pilsners and lagers in Europe, especially German ones, are not that heavily carbonated, and that's a key thing. And that's the first thing that hit me, was just how well they've done the beer. It's based out of Fredericksburg. It's
beautiful.
Got a great tie-in, because obviously Fredericksburg, a German town, and now they've got a Texas German beer, and it's cracking.
Yeah, and the facility out there, it's amazing. They've really done it right. It's really fantastic. So check it out. You can get it at all the local HEBs and everything else, right?
Yep. It's around all around Texas. You can get it. They sell it in on the shelf there as a Texas beer. But I'll tell you what, you're right back in Germany when you drink it.
And it's Allstadt Beer, Allstadt Beer.com. Allstadt Beer, Allstadt Beer.com.
Hi, this is Max Verstappen, and you're listening to Speed City.
Welcome back to the fastest hour in radio, Speed City.
Thank you, Max, and congratulations. That was the drive of a world champion today, because he took the mantle, he got the car, he put everything behind him that had gone wrong leading up to that. He could have been frustrated. He could have been, you know, fed up with the fact that he didn't qualify anywhere near the front, but he kept his head down, did his job, and that really was, like I said, the drive of a champion, Les.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. You know, like I said, we've seen times, you know, in his history, that would have rattled him, you know, but he also showed things passing on the outside, passing on the inside, you know, even the 360 spin, he kept his head in the game. That could have really just totally derailed everything that he had going for him. And so I think that marks a lot of maturity for the guy.
Bob, I want to bring you in here, because we did pretty much hear Chris Medlin's interview with Mario Isla saying what we all have just said. There's nothing wrong with punditry, but I like to hear it from the horse's mouth. The guy that made the tires said the hard was not competitive and was slow. Just in that last interview. So,
yeah,
I mean,
we knew
who's not listening?
I think it's pretty obvious in the way we saw tire usage during the course of that race. They said going in after a Friday practice, they found that the the hard was almost a full second slower than the medium. And everybody spent their time, well, on the soft primarily, because very few teams had fresh sets of soft at the end. Most had used up their allotment. They had one set of hards and then a bunch of mediums, which once again this week was the preferred tire. I don't know. I guess some teams just thought they could get that hard tire up to temp and use it to chew up laps. But, you know, clearly that wasn't going to happen today from what I'm able to glean from this thing.
Got a couple of comments on YouTube. Sanat P says, Charles could have gone up to 50 laps and would have done 28 on the medium by then and the last 20 on softs. Even if he lost track position to a couple of them, he could have regained them like Hamilton did. And T and W living in Udon Thani, Thailand, says, Red Bull playing chess, Ferrari playing checkers.
Oh,
good one. I'm writing an article for a Ferrari magazine at the moment, and I'm tearing my hair out as to how to explain the first half of Ferrari's 2022 season. I mean, they looked so good early on, and then the combination of driver mistakes, misfortune, frankly, but also just stubbornness and wrongheaded decisions have just derailed it. I mean, you couldn't find a better case study in how they run their operation. I'd love to know how these decisions are made.
Yeah.
It'd be fun to compare each stop on the pit wall and listen to the conversations and who leads that conversation and who makes the final decision. And yeah, that would heads might roll, but it would be really illuminating.
Well,
something's
got to happen. One of our regulars, Andy P, says, clear again that the Ferrari strategy decision-making process needs to be overhauled. To me, it's more a process issue, and what they have to do is break it down, look at the holes in that process, then fix it. And I have to say, that sounds like a very level-headed approach, but that's not what we're getting. Talking of level heads, Chris Medlin rejoins us. I can hear him in the background. Chris, are you there?
I am indeed. I've managed to steal some Wi-Fi. How are we doing?
Ah, good. But we are discussing what you'd expect. Is, I mean, your Mario interview, excellent, because he said it black and white. The hards weren't competitive. What are Ferrari doing?
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, I'm watching Mattia Binotto now basically having to explain himself to basically pretty much every TV station under the sun that they've queued up. I'm seeing if I can stick our mic in there at some stage to
good luck
get
with
an explanation. Yeah, exactly. It's a tough one because I think in a weird way, people want to talk to Ferrari more when they mess up because it happens too often.
Yeah.
So they kind of want an explanation. Whereas, you know, when they win, it's like, congratulations, well done, great. But things didn't go wrong, so people are just, I don't know, they're less pushy. So, yeah, he's got a lot of explaining to do right now.
Well, let me ask you a different question, which is, where are Mercedes going into the summer break? I mean, you asked Toto, because he said, we weren't expecting to be pole, we'll just see what happens. But, you know, I feel like they've been kind of... just being a little bit cautious about what they say to the media. They don't want to blow their trumpet too much because they know they were on the back foot from the start. But where are they going into the summer break?
I think they're in a very strong position. I think if you look at the way the car's improved, also the way they've managed to find ways of getting more performance out of it. So it's not just been the upgrades that they brought and how that's worked. But if you look at the fact that this weekend they completely turned things around and got it to be quicker, having had a bad Friday, then that's a very, very good sign. And I think that they're starting to understand their car more now. So I think they're going to be a threat at more and more races. I don't know if we're going to see them winning many. I think they'll win one or two. And I think with the way it's panned out, if with a car that uncompetitive, they're this close to Ferrari. I mean, what's the gap? 30 points in the championship? I think there's every chance they could overhaul that.
Yeah, you're right. It is exactly 30 points. Ferrari in second place still, but almost, like I said, almost 100 off now from Red Bull. So the battle is on for second place, and it's very much entrenched into Ferrari versus Mercedes. And that gap is definitely doable with Russell on great form and Hamilton clearly getting more and more competitive.
Let me ask a question here. Chris, what do you think? You know, we've been over this porpoising thing and the proposed solutions by the FIA. And we heard Christian Horner say, we don't need the FIA to step in. The teams are handling this. It's not going to happen overnight, but they'll get it done. now it appears that what Horner was saying has some validity to it. Do we not need porpoising control with sensors and algorithms and penalties and all of that?
I think it's more going to come down to, there's no like black and white answer to this. It's going to be more an opinion-based thing on, do we want to trust the teams with that? Or do the FIA need to step in? And I think the FIA probably have stepped in at the point where it was at its worst and since seen it improve and probably been shown that, no, they don't need to step in. There will be tracks that it's a problem again. But I don't think there'll be many. Because if you think someone like Monza, they're going to be running such low downforce for such a high-speed circuit that it shouldn't be as big an issue there. Spa, maybe. And I think that will be that's why they're kind of trying to push them through by Spa for this year to address it at the track where I guess it would be the biggest problem. But beyond that, I don't think we're going to see a huge amount. And I think that's why the teams are kind of within their rights, many of them, to push back and go, well, hang on, we're not going to need it for next year. It's not going to be such a big problem. We've ironed it out. Because if it's costing them performance, they're not going to do it. And if their drivers can't keep performing to a good level with it, they're not going to do it. So I'd left it personally up to the teams. But I also get that the second that the FIA have said this could be a safety issue, we need to address it. If they then don't, and there's one issue, one problem, they are culpable. So they've kind of pinned themselves in a bit of a corner.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting. I'm glad you asked that question, because that was the one question mark I had as to whether the FIA would effectively take away some of Red Bull's, advantage. That's certainly how Mercedes saw it going into this in terms of the argument of the oscillation. But I kind of agree with what Chris has said there, that you know, if it ain't broke, don't fix it, in terms of I think they have addressed it at the worst time. But if it's not getting any worse, there are only a few tracks that it would, and it may not actually raise its ugly head, its porpoising head again. Les?
Yeah, I'm going to say, though, my take on this was that the teams were not listening to the drivers.
True.
And that is why I'm all for the drivers saying, okay, I'm good with having a sensory metric that has to be followed, because the teams don't realize how bad this hurts. I mean, we saw Hamilton one race struggling to get out of his car, but let's look at a different sport, NFL, and, you know, for that matter, NCAA, with shock sensors in the helmets.
Mm.
That translates to the real pain, and I think that is where, you know, this helps.
George Russell did a good in-depth on Checkered Flag on the BBC over the weekend and with Andrew Benson, and basically said, because he also represents the drivers, even though he's as young as he is, and he said, you know, his point was the drivers don't need an added bit of danger to their driving, and what he meant by that was, you know, the car's bottoming out, which is, you know, you're always going to go for performance. That's what racing teams do, and racing drivers will follow that to the letter. But if it can be done away with because it's not safe for the drivers to be bouncing the way they are, it's going to have long-term effects eventually, and it's just not good if you can't see properly and you're bouncing all over the place, that they should step in. So the argument's out there, but I like I said, I hadn't heard Chris put it that way, and I quite like it. Chris, are you still there?
I am around the Red Bull motorhome as we speak, because I'm waiting for Mr. Christian Horner to sum up his first half of the season. I imagine he's a much happier man than Mattia Binotto.
I concur. I think you've done the right thing to put yourself in the safety of the Red Bull hospitality than that of the Ferrari. Tell you what, dude, we'll take a short break.
Not that Ferrari would welcome us in, I think.
No. I'll tell you what we'll do, Chris. You carry on. We're going to take a short break and we'll come back to you, and hopefully you'll be in full flow. Stay with us here as we look at the Hungarian Grand Prix on Speed City.
Motivation USA, catering to the sport bike enthusiast looking for truly unique parts and accessories. Stand out from the crowd. Motivation is the exclusive North American distributor for SC Project Moto GP inspired exhausts and the largest Rizoma retailer in the United States. Get the best parts from around the world at the best prices with fast shipping and a knowledgeable staff ready to help. Shop online 24/7 at motivationusa.com. That's motivationusa.com.
If you want to know where the path to Formula One and Indy begins, it's three simple letters. VRD. VRD Racing of Atlanta, Georgia are dedicated to nurturing young, single-seater drivers on their quest to the pinnacle of motorsport. Having just wrapped up the team's championship title in 2021 in the F4 US Championship, they also have programs in FR Americas, the all-new USF Juniors, and the Road to Indy. VRD is the perfect environment for success. To join the team, drop them a DM on Instagram at velocity_RD.
Hi, this is Jay Leno from JayLeno'sGarage.com, and you're listening to Speed City.
Welcome back to the fastest hour in radio, Speed City.
Nobody says it like Jay. Speed City. And our thanks. So let's revisit, if you will. We've now got a three-week break, and that a lot is made of it in Formula One because it really is wall-to-wall for those on the circus. And I know that from doing it. Les, you've done a few races, and even if you don't do a full season, you know it can be, you can imagine how laborious it is. They need a break.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, it taxes everybody, not just the driver. That's one of the things that have come up is they are changing the curfews coming up. And so the teams are going to be allowed 8 exceptions to do some work on Wednesday that previously was not as freely. And so this helps you as a team member, supporting cast, whatever you want to call them, be able to have more time, more predictable. And really just with the lengthening of the calendar, not to just wear out and get every last drop of blood out of your teams.
Just had a comment on YouTube. Just joined. Is the race winner this time being discussed? And it's like, yeah, that's true. We haven't really spent too much time. We've been destroying Ferrari, but let's not lose sight of the fact that that was a brilliant drive by a brilliant world champion, Bob. You know, when you go from 10th to 1st and there is no real incident, stroke, weather playing a part in that, it's pretty impressive.
No question. And when I ran down the starting grid this morning in our
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Ah, DSW, birthplace of the humble brag. Here, the shoes are so good, no one would ever know how little you paid. If you didn't go telling everyone, that is. And with never-ending options for every style, mood, and occasion, all at really great prices, we'll definitely give you something to brag about. So go ahead, stock up on fresh sneakers from your favorite brands. Or try those boots you always secretly knew you could pull off. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
It's a new year, and it's time to get your picks in 26 with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop Bob's for hot new styles featuring the latest technology, like stylish sleeper sectionals with immersive Bluetooth audio, relaxing reclining sofas with LED lighting, and fabulous fireplaces with mood lighting and speakers, all at Bob's everyday low prices, of course. So if you want to refresh your room for less, save big by stopping in or shopping online at Bob's Discount Furniture.
Thy ticket, Lady Jennifer of Coolidge.
Well, many thanks, good sir. Heareth my Discover card.
They accept Discover at Renaissance fairs?
Yeah, they do here. Discover is accepted at the places that I love to shop. Getteth with the times.
With the times? You're playing the lute.
Yeah, and it sounds pretty good, right?
Discover is accepted at 99% of places that take credit cards nationwide. Based on the February 2025 Nielsen report.
Making plans with asthma can be awful. It always goes from, that sounds fun, to, in this weather, what if my asthma acts up? I got tired of saying no. So my doctor suggested Dupixent. I'm Rachel, and I'm sponsored by Regeneron and Sanofi to share my story with real patients like me.
Dupixent, dupilumab, is an add-on prescription maintenance treatment for adults and children 6 years and up with moderate to severe eosinophilic or oral steroid-dependent asthma that's not controlled with current asthma medicines. Dupixent is not for sudden breathing problems.
Dupixent helps people breathe better in as little as 2 weeks. And now I don't even think twice about
saying yes to plans more, rain or shine.
Severe allergic reactions, including skin reactions, can occur. Get help right away for face, mouth, tongue, or throat swelling, wheezing, or trouble breathing. Tell your doctor right away of signs of inflamed blood vessels like rash, chest pain, worsening shortness of breath, brown or dark colored urine, tingling or numbness in limbs. Tell your doctor of new or worsening skin symptoms, joint aches and pain, or a parasitic infection. Don't change or stop other treatments without talking to your doctor.
Do more with less asthma. Ask your asthma specialist about Dupixent by name. Visit Dupixent.com or call 1-844-DUPIXENT.
Hi, this is Max Verstappen, and you're listening to Speed City.
Welcome back to the fastest hour in radio, Speed City.
Thank you, Max, and congratulations. That was the drive of a world champion today because he took the mantle, he got the car, he put everything behind him that had gone wrong leading up to that. He could have been frustrated. He could have been, you know, fed up with the fact that he didn't qualify anywhere near the front, but he kept his head down, did his job, and that really was, like I said, the drive of a champion, Les.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. You know, like I said, we've seen times, you know, in his history, that would have rattled him, you know, but he also showed things passing on the outside, passing on the inside, you know, even the 360 spin, he kept his head in the game. That could have really just totally derailed everything that he had going for him. And so I think that marks a lot of maturity for the guy.
Bob, I want to bring you in here because we did pretty much hear Chris Medlin's interview with Mario Isla saying what we all have just said. And I always like, there's nothing wrong with punditry, but I like to hear it from the horse's mouth. The guy that made the tires said the hard was not competitive and was slow. Just in that last interview. So, yeah, I mean, we knew who's not listening?
I think it's pretty obvious in the way we saw tire usage during the course of that race. Yeah, they said going in after a Friday practice, they found that the hard was almost a full second slower than the medium. And everybody spent their time, well, on the soft primarily, because very few teams had fresh sets of soft at the end. Most had used up their allotment. They had one set of hards and then a bunch of mediums, which once again this week was the preferred tire. I don't know. I guess some teams just thought they could get that hard tire up to temp and use it to chew up laps. But, you know, clearly that wasn't going to happen today from what I'm able to glean from this thing.
Got a couple of comments on YouTube. Sanat P says, Charles could have gone up to 50 laps and would have done 28 on the medium by then and the last 20 on softs. Even if he lost track position to a couple of them, he could have regained them like Hamilton did. And T and W living in Udon Thani, Thailand, says, Red Bull playing chess, Ferrari playing checkers.
Oh,
good one! I'm writing an article for a Ferrari magazine at the moment, and I'm tearing my hair out as to how to explain the first half of Ferrari's 2022 season. I mean, they looked so good early on, and then the combination of driver mistakes, misfortune, frankly, but also just stubbornness and wrongheaded decisions have just derailed it. I mean, you couldn't find a better case study in how they run their operation. I'd love to know how these decisions are made.
Yeah.
It'd be fun to compare each stop on the pit wall and listen to the conversations and who leads that conversation and who makes the final decision. And yeah, that would heads might roll, but it would be really illuminating.
Well,
something's got to
happen. One of our regulars, Andy P, says, clear again that the Ferrari strategy decision-making process needs to be overhauled. To me, it's more a process issue, and what they have to do is break it down, look at the holes in that process, then fix it. And I have to say, that sounds like a very level-headed approach, but that's not what we're getting. Talking of level heads, Chris Medlin rejoins us. I can hear him in the background. Chris, are you there?
I am indeed. I've managed to steal some Wi-Fi. How are we doing?
Ah, good. But we are discussing what you'd expect. Is, I mean, your Mario interview, excellent, because he said it black and white. The hards weren't competitive. What are Ferrari doing?
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, I'm watching Mattia Bellotto now basically having to explain himself to basically pretty much every TV station under the sun that they've queued up. I'm seeing if I can stick our mic in there at some stage to
good luck
get
with
an explanation. Yeah, exactly. It's a tough one because I think in a weird way, people want to talk to Ferrari more when they mess up because it happens too often.
Yeah.
So they kind of want an explanation. Whereas, you know, when they win, it's like, congratulations, well done, great. But things didn't go wrong, so people are just, I don't know, they're less pushy. So, yeah, well, it's got a lot of explaining to do right now.
Well, let me ask you a different question, which is, where are Mercedes going into the summer break? I mean, you asked Toto, because he said, we weren't expecting to be pole, we'll just see what happens. But, you know, I feel like they've been kind of... just being a little bit cautious about what they say to the media. They don't want to blow their trumpet too much because they know they were on the back foot from the start. But where are they going into the summer break?
I think they're in a very strong position. I think if you look at the way the car's improved, also the way they've managed to find ways of getting more performance out of it. So it's not just been the upgrades that they brought and how that's worked. But if you look at the fact that this weekend they completely turned things around and got it to be quicker, having a bad Friday, then that's a very, very good sign. And I think that they're starting to understand their car more now. So I think they're going to be a threat at more and more races. I don't know if we're going to see them winning many. I think they'll win one or two. And I think with the way it's panned out, if with a car that uncompetitive, they're this close to Ferrari. I mean, what's the gap? 30 points in the championship? I think there's every chance they could overhaul that.
Yeah, you're right. It is exactly 30 points. Ferrari in second place still, but almost, like I said, almost 100 off now from Red Bull. So the battle is on for second place, and it's very much entrenched into Ferrari versus Mercedes. And that gap is definitely doable with Russell on great form and Hamilton clearly getting more and more competitive.
Let me ask a question here. Chris, what do you think? You know, we've been over this porpoising thing and the proposed solutions by the FIA. And we heard Christian Horner say, we don't need the FIA to step in. The teams are handling this. It's not going to happen overnight, but they'll get it done. Now it appears that what Horner was saying has some validity to it. Do we not need porpoising control with sensors and algorithms and penalties and all of that?
I think it's more going to come down to, there's no like black and white answer to this. It's going to be more an opinion-based thing on, do we want to trust the teams with that? Do the FIA need to step in? And I think the FIA probably have stepped in at the point where it was at its worst and since seen it improve and probably been shown that, no, they don't need to step in. There will be tracks that it's a problem again. But I don't think there'll be many, because if you think someone like Monza, they're going to be running such low downforce for such a high-speed circuit that it shouldn't be as big an issue there. Spa, maybe. And I think that will be that's why they're kind of trying to push them through by Spa for this year to address it at the track where I guess it would be the biggest problem. But beyond that, I don't think we're going to see a huge amount. And I think that's why the teams are kind of within their rights, many of them, to push back and go, well, hang on, we're not going to need it for next year. It's not going to be such a big problem. We've ironed it out. Because if it's costing them performance, they're not going to do it. And if their drivers can't keep performing to a good level with it, they're not going to do it. So I'd left it personally up to the teams. But I also get that the second that the FIA have said, this could be a safety issue, we need to address it. If they then don't, and there's one issue, one problem, they are culpable. So they've kind of pinned themselves in a bit of a corner.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting. I'm glad you asked that question because that was the one question mark I had as to whether the FIA would effectively take away some of Red Bull's, advantage. That's certainly how Mercedes saw it going into this in terms of the argument of the oscillation. But I kind of agree with what Chris has said there, that if it ain't broke, don't fix it. In terms of, I think they have addressed it at the worst time. But if it's not getting any worse, there are only a few tracks that it would, and it may not actually raise its ugly head, its porpoising head again. Les?
Yeah, I'm going to say, though, my take on this was that the teams were not listening to the drivers.
True.
And that is why I'm all for the drivers saying, okay, I'm good with having a sensory metric that has to be followed. Because the teams don't realize how bad this hurts. I mean, we saw Hamilton one race struggling to get out of his car. But let's look at a different sport, NFL. And, you know, for that matter, NCAA with shock sensors in the helmets. Mm. That translates to the real pain. And I think that is where, you know, this helps
George Russell did a good in-depth on Checkered Flag on the BBC over the weekend and with Andrew Benson, and basically said, because he also represents the drivers, even though he's as young as he is, and he said, you know, his point was the drivers don't need an added bit of danger to their driving, and what he meant by that was, you know, the car's bottoming out, which is, you know, you're always going to go for performance. That's what racing teams do, and racing drivers will follow that to the letter. But if it can be done away with, because it's not safe for the drivers to be bouncing as the way they are, it's going to have long term effects eventually, and it's just not good if you can't see properly and you're bouncing all over the place. That they should step in. So the argument's out there, but I like I said, I hadn't heard Chris put it that way, and I quite like it. Chris, are you still there?
I'm around the Red Bull motorhome as we speak, because I'm waiting for Mr. Christian Horner to sum up his first half of the season. I imagine he's a much happier man than Mattia Binotto.
I concur. I think you've done the right thing to put yourself in the safety of the Red Bull hospitality than that of the Ferrari. Tell you what, dude, we'll take a short break.
Not that Ferrari would welcome us in, I think.
No. I'll tell you what we'll do, Chris. You carry on. We're going to take a short break and we'll come back to you, and hopefully you'll be in full flow. Stay with us here as we look at the Hungarian Grand Prix on Speed City.
Motivation USA, catering to the sport bike enthusiast looking for truly unique parts and accessories. Stand out from the crowd. Motivation is the exclusive North American distributor for SC Project MotoGP inspired exhausts and the largest Rizoma retailer in the United States. Get the best parts from around the world at the best prices with fast shipping and a knowledgeable staff ready to help. Shop online 24/7 at MotivationUSA.com. That's MotivationUSA.com.
If you want to know where the path to Formula One and Indy begins, it's three simple letters, VRD. VRD Racing of Atlanta, Georgia are dedicated to nurturing young, single-seater drivers on their quest to the pinnacle of motorsport. Having just wrapped up the team's championship title in 2021 in the F4 US Championship, they also have programs in FR Americas, the all-new USF Juniors, and the Road to Indy. VRD is the perfect environment for success. To join the team, drop them a DM on Instagram at velocity_RD.
Hi, this is Jay Leno from JayLenosGarage.com, and you're listening to Speed City.
Welcome back to the fastest hour in radio, Speed City.
Nobody says it like Jay. Speed City. And our thanks. So let's revisit, if you will. We've now got a three-week break, and a lot is made of it in Formula One because it really is wall-to-wall for those on the circus. And I know that from doing it. Les, you've done a few races, and even if you don't do a full season, you know it can be, you can imagine how laborious it is. They need a break.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, it taxes everybody, not just the driver. That's one of the things that have come up is they are changing the curfews coming up. And so the teams are going to be allowed 8 exceptions to do some work on Wednesday that previously was not as freely. And so this helps you as a team member, supporting cast, whatever you want to call them, be able to have more time, more predictable. And really just with the lengthening of the calendar, not to just wear out and get every last drop of blood out of your teams.
Just had a comment on YouTube. Just joined. Is the race winner this time being discussed? And it's like, yeah, that's true. We haven't really spent too much time. We've been destroying Ferrari, but let's not lose sight of the fact that that was a brilliant drive by a brilliant world champion, Bob. You know, when you go from 10th to 1st and there is no real incident, stroke, weather playing a part in that, it's pretty impressive.
No question. And when I ran down the starting grid this morning in our pre-race show, I said that if Max Verstappen's car is healthy, he's going to come through this field like a tornado. And he did. Now, he said
exactly
in his pre-race interview with Chris, you got to be patient around the Hungaroring. But boy, if that was patience, then I'll have a double helping, please. I mean, he knew he had the car, and he picked his spots. remember, this is a place that, you know, Nigel Mansell became a legend '92 when he went by a whole bunch of people, including Ayrton Senna, just by bombing around, you know what, to the wall the whole time. And I think Verstappen, from what I can glean, put on a pretty similar show today. The guy's obviously, you know, on another planet right now, which is his eighth win in 13 races. Mm. I mean, this is going to get pretty sketchy after a while.
This is the season he wanted to have after what was a sort of a strange one to finish with and obviously a controversial one. This is the dominant season he wanted. 80 points he now has ahead. I do want to ask one thing that is a little bit left field, and I keep bringing it up, but I'm still kind of banging that trail. We were talking about this, Les, during the race, and I'd like to get Bob's take on it. We keep saying, or I keep saying, I don't like DRS because we've now got the cars designed to a point where they don't need it. And every time I see a DRS overtake, we watched Ricciardo overtake two Alpines in the same corner. That wasn't because of DRS. And if you can we get to a point where maybe we take DRS down to, 40 seconds per race so that you can use it anytime you want, but not for every time you're within a second? What's your feel on that?
I like that idea, frankly. I have no major problem with DRS, but I think a very cogent argument could be made that it is, in fact, unnecessary. Mm. I mean, the way you're supposed to pass people is by superior driving skills in a car that has a performance advantage, whether it's a complete advantage throughout the entirety of the race or just in certain corners where your car does something better than the other guy's does. But that's part of the art of race driving, is knowing how to maximize your opportunity to make progress and potentially win a race. I'd like to say something about what Les said earlier about the length of the season and the need for a break. I think it was last year, maybe 2 years ago, where an anonymous mechanic wrote a letter in which he explained why people do not understand the stresses of life on the Formula One trail. It's not just about long curfews and all that sort of thing. It's about, you know, complete tear down and build up of race cars back in the shop. It's about traveling enormous distances from continent to continent in economy after getting very little sleep. You know, it's about having spouses and children at home. It's about holidays. It's about summer vacations. It's about school recitals and sports games and stuff like that. It's about the quality of life.
Yeah,
you want to commit to Formula One, the most glamorous motorsport in the world. But at the same time, you know, how heavy a price should that commitment cost you? And I loved that letter when it was written. And I think about it a lot in discussions like this about what these teams, you know, they don't get on private jets like the team principals and the head designers and even the race drivers get on. They're there packing everything up, hauling it to the next location, spending long trips cramped up in an economy airplane seat. It's a rough life in lots of ways.
Yeah, and it's funny because I often go to a dinner party or whatever, and people go, "Oh, what do you do?" And I go, "Oh, I follow cars around the world and bikes." And they go, "Oh, that's a dream job." And I go, "Yeah, it is." And then I go, "Well," but then I complain about the travel, and they're like,
"Right,
what's the matter with that guy? What a sourpuss that guy is, you know, complaining about traveling around the world."
Everything is a job at one point or another.
Yep, absolutely. But there's no question, there are some also highlights to that. I mean, Budapest, as you mentioned, a hell of a nightlife, a hell of a place to be. Mm-hmm. I remember sitting in a bar on the Danube during the Hungarian Grand Prix and thinking, actually, this is a pretty nice place to be. Plus, I want to share with our audience something that I don't often share, which is some of the inside track that Chris was just alluding to when we were off air. And Bob, I think you've experienced this. There's one thing that is unique about Hungary, because it was an Iron Curtain country and because Bernie came in there and sort of brought international sport to that part of the world. One of the most exciting parts about the Hungaroring weekend was the leaving of, because there is a flight or some flights on a Sunday night out of the airport in Budapest. And so you were able to sign up in the media center to the convoy
the police-led convoy that would leave the circuit and take you directly to the airport. And all right. the citizens of Budapest, millions of them, would come out on the street because they knew that all the F1 drivers in their rental cars, plus all the journalists and anybody who'd signed up, were going to literally race to the airport. And yeah. I do remember Mika Hakkinen passing me on the hard shoulder at one point and David Coulthard on the inside of me. And I thought, oh, that's not going to happen very often. In my Pinto?
Yeah.
Did you ever have any similar experience?
Oh, yeah, very much like that. And we used to do that on the Tour de France as well, because, you know, you'd have 140 riders and all of the support crews and teams and media and what have you and spectators, and they'd finish in some tiny little ski town on top of a mountain with one road going down. And so you always listened to hear when the convoy was getting ready, and they'd sound a horn, 3 minutes, 2 minutes, 1 minute. And then, yeah, we'd wind on down and, you know, folks would jump the queue and all that sort of thing. But you did not want to miss that because you had all of these fans, you know, who'd camped out on the edge of a cliff to watch the riders come up the hill. They all wanted to get their campers down the hill as well. So, yeah, it's those police escorts are fun, but they can be pretty darn chaotic.
Hey, we got another caller, Kenny, on the line. We're about to go off the air. But, Kenny, you wanted to get a question from California.
Yes, sir. Hey, how do they get all the equipment around the world, the trucks and all the other team equipment that they use? And what are those buildings that they seem to set up at every track? Are they portable units that house for all the different teams?
Yeah, you're absolutely right. They just put it all in a Sprinter. No, they don't. They actually charter several 747s. To take all the equipment, and something that's Bernie Eccleston put in place. He actually owns Biggin Hill and Airport in London, and so it's all packed up. But in fact, they've started to actually take less equipment to each and every race. So the F1 Pro guys and some of the guys you'll see often do the commentary and their work from Biggin Hill in London remotely. But the big stuff, the cars, et cetera, go on 747 planes, right?
It's great fun to watch, but they do not. The transporters, the big, beautiful trucks, do not travel outside of Europe.
We're going to finish the show. We got Christian Horner on the line. Christian Horner, a last comment from him on his day.
So, Christian, we spoke to you on the grid before the race, and you said top five was sort of the realistic target. So how unexpected was a win from 10th for Max?
Yeah, totally unexpected. So phenomenal drive, a great teamwork, great strategy. You know, we had a couple of issues that we had to nurse during the race, but we got on top of them. And, I think that was right up there with one of Max's best races.
And the guys in the studio were saying he did a Danny Sullivan. He had a spin to win as well. I mean, what happened there?
A complete 360. I think he was just warming the tyres up. But, of course, it meant he had to chop past Charles not once, but twice. So it felt a little bit like, the opposite of what happened to us in our home race in Austria.
Yeah, at which point did you feel like this race was there for the taking, though, that you could win it?
I think as soon as I saw a set of tyres with white sidewalls on them go onto the Ferrari of Charles, I thought, okay, you know, we know that they're going to be hard to get going. We're on the medium, we'll take advantage of that. And, Max made it work and was able to really control the race thereafter.
And a word on Checo's race as well, because he did come through the field slightly, but did the VSC hurt him at the end there? Did you think he was going to get Carlos?
I felt that he got a real go at Carlos and at George. You know, he was a second a lap quicker in the closing laps of the race and, you know, coming at them strong. So the VSC just took the steam out of that a bit. But, again, another strong recovery from him. Moves him very close in points to Charles now. So, time for a well-earned rest in the shutdown and come back fully charged up for after the break.
Well, there you go. We got the main man talking. My thanks to Les Kaiser, as always, Bob Varsha, Chris Medland, as ever, doing a brilliant job at the Hungaro Ring. We hope you've enjoyed our coverage here on SiriusXM. I'm Jonathan Green. John will be back in the hot seat next week. And I say next week because we're off for a couple of weeks. We're going to take our summer break. We're going to take a spa. And we'll see you at Spa, Francorchamps, next time out. Bye-bye for now.
Ciao, y'all.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Ah, DSW, birthplace of the humble brag. Here, the shoes are so good, no one would ever know how little you paid. If you didn't go telling everyone, that is. And with never-ending options for every style, mood, and occasion, all at really great prices, we'll definitely give you something to brag about. So go ahead, stock up on fresh sneakers from your favorite brands. Or try those boots you always secretly knew you could pull off. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
Is your home stuck in a style slump? Well, 2026 is your year because Bob's Discount Furniture has incredible finds that pack a style punch and won't drain your bank account. We're talking statement pieces like the gorgeous Sofia sofa and loveseat with channel tufting and super comfy bobopedic cushions, or a farmhouse storage bed that hides the mess and still looks beautiful. Want to cozy things up? Snag an electric fireplace and make your home feel like an actual hug. They've even got the latest technology. Their showcase immersive sofa has Bluetooth audio, heated seats, massage, power recline, and LED lights. It's like having a movie theater in your home. Make 2026 the year you love your home. Get your picks in 26 at Bob's Discount Furniture.
Oh, could this vintage store be any cuter?
Right? And the best part? They accept Discover.
Accept Discover? In a little place like this? I don't think so, Jennifer.
Oh, yeah, huh? Discover's accepted where I like to shop. Come on, baby, get with the times.
Right, so we shouldn't get the parachute pants?
These are making a comeback, I think.
Discover is accepted at 99% of places that take credit cards nationwide. Based on the February 2025 Nielsen report.
Making plans with asthma can be awful. It always goes from, that sounds fun, to, in this weather, what's my asthma acts up? I got tired of saying no. So my doctor suggested Dupixent. I'm Rachel, and I'm sponsored by Regeneron in Santa Fe to share my story with real patients like me.
Dupixent, dupilumab, is an add-on prescription maintenance treatment for adults and children 6 years and up with moderate to severe eosinophilic or oral steroid-dependent asthma that's not controlled with current asthma medicines. Dupixent is not for sudden breathing problems.
Dupixent helps people breathe better in as little as 2 weeks. And now I don't even think twice about saying yes to plans more, rain or shine.
Severe allergic reactions, including skin reactions, can occur. Get help right away for face, mouth, tongue, or throat swelling, wheezing, or trouble breathing. Tell your doctor right away of signs of inflamed blood vessels like rash, chest pain, worsening shortness of breath, brown or dark colored urine, tingling or numbness in limbs. Tell your doctor of new or worsening skin symptoms, joint aches and pain, or a parasitic infection. Don't change or stop other treatments without talking to your doctor.
Do more with less asthma. Ask your asthma specialist about Dupixent by name. Visit Dupixent.com or call 1-844-DUPIXENT.
Hi, this is Jay Leno from JayLenoWithGarage.com, and you're listening to Speed City.
Welcome back to the fastest hour in radio, Speed City.
Nobody says it like Jay. Speed City. And our thanks. So let's revisit, if you will. We've now got a three-week break, and that a lot is made of it in Formula One because it really is wall-to-wall for those on the circus. And I know that from doing it. Les, you've done a few races, and even if you don't do a full season, you know it can be, you can imagine how laborious it is. They need a break.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, it taxes everybody, not just the driver. That's one of the things that have come up is they are changing the curfews coming up. And so the teams are going to be allowed 8 exceptions to do some work on Wednesday that previously was not as freely. And so this helps you as a team member, supporting cast, whatever you want to call them, be able to have more time, more predictable. And really just with the lengthening of the calendar, not to just wear out and get every last drop of blood out of your teams.
Just had a comment on YouTube. Just joined. Is the race winner this time being discussed? And it's like, yeah, that's true. We haven't really spent too much time. We've been destroying Ferrari, but let's not lose sight of the fact that that was a brilliant drive by a brilliant world champion, Bob. You know, when you go from 10th to 1st and there is no real incident, stroke, weather playing a part in that, it's pretty impressive.
No question. And when I ran down the starting grid this morning in our pre-race show, I said that if Max Verstappen's car is healthy, he's going to come through this field like a tornado. And he did. Now, he said exactly in his pre-race interview with Chris, you got to be patient around the Hungaroring. But boy, if that was patience, then I'll have a double helping, please. I mean, he knew he had the car and he picked his spots. Remember, this is a place that, you know, Nigel Mansell became a legend in 92 when he went by a whole bunch of people, including Ayrton Senna, just by bombing around, you know what, to the wall the whole time. And I think Verstappen, from what I can glean, put on a pretty similar show today. The guy's obviously, you know, on another planet right now, which is his eighth win in 13 races. Mm. I mean, this is going to get pretty sketchy.
Yeah,
after a while.
This is the season he wanted to have after what mm-hmm. was a sort of a strange one to finish with, and obviously a controversial one. This is the dominant mm-hmm. season he wanted. 80 points he now has ahead. I do want to ask one thing that is a little bit left field, and I keep bringing it up, but I'm still kind of banging that trail. We were talking about this, Les, during the race, and I'd like to get Bob's take on it. We keep saying, or I keep saying, I don't like DRS because we've now got the cars designed to a point where they don't need it. And every time I see a DRS overtake, we watched Ricciardo overtake two Alpines in the same corner. That wasn't because of DRS. And if you can we get to a point where maybe we take DRS down to, I don't know, 40 seconds per race so that you can use it anytime you want, but not for every time you're within a second? What's your feel on that?
I like that idea, frankly. I have no major problem with DRS, but I think a very cogent argument could be made that it is, in fact, unnecessary. Mm. I mean, the way you're supposed to pass people is by superior driving skills in a car that has a performance advantage, whether it's a complete advantage throughout the entirety of the race or just in certain corners where your car does something better than the other guy's does. But that's part of the art of race driving, is knowing how to maximize your opportunity to make progress and potentially win a race. I'd like to say something about what Les said earlier about the length of the season and the need for a break. I think it was last year, maybe 2 years ago, where a mechanic, an anonymous mechanic, wrote a letter in which he explained why people do not understand the stresses of life on the Formula One trail. It's not just about long curfews and all that sort of thing. It's about, you know, complete tear down and build up of race cars back in the shop. It's about traveling enormous distances from continent to continent in economy mm-hmm. after getting very little sleep. You know, it's about having spouses and children at home. It's about holidays. It's about summer vacations. It's about school recitals and sports games and stuff like that. It's about the quality of life.
Yeah,
you want to commit to Formula One, the most glamorous motorsport in the world. But at the same time, you know, how heavy a price should that commitment cost you? And I loved that letter when it was written. And I think about it a lot in discussions like this about what these teams, you know, they don't get on private jets like the team principals and the head designers and even the race drivers get on. They're there packing everything up, hauling it to the next location, spending, you know, long trips cramped up in an economy airplane seat. It's a rough life in lots of ways.
Yeah. And it's funny because I often go to a dinner party or whatever and people go, oh, what do you do? And I go, I follow cars around the world and bikes. And they go, oh, that's a dream job. And I go, yeah, it is. And then I go, well, yeah. But then I complain about the travel and they're like,
right,
what's
exactly.
the matter with that guy? What a sourpuss that guy is, you know, complaining about
everything
traveling around the world.
Everything is a job at one point or
yep,
another.
Absolutely. But there's no question, you know, there are some also highlights to that. I mean, Budapest, as you mentioned, a hell of a nightlife, a hell of a place to be. Mm-hmm. I remember sitting in a bar on the Danube during the Hungarian Grand Prix and thinking, actually, this is a pretty nice place to be. Plus, I want to share with our audience something that I don't often share, which is some of the inside track that Chris was just alluding to when we were off air. And Bob, I think you've experienced this. There's one thing that is unique about Hungary, because it was an Iron Curtain country and because Bernie came in there and sort of brought international sport to that part of the world. One of the most exciting parts about the Hungaroring weekend was the leaving of, because there is a flight or some flights on a Sunday night out of the airport in Budapest. And so you were able to sign up in the media center to the convoy, the police-led convoy that would leave the circuit and take you directly to the airport. And all right. the citizens of Budapest, millions of them, would come out on the street because they knew that all the F1 drivers in their rental cars, plus all the journalists and anybody who'd signed up, were going to literally race to the airport. And I do remember Mika Häkkinen passing me on the hard shoulder at one point and David Coulthard on the inside of me. And I thought, oh, that's not going to happen very often in my Pinto.
Yeah.
Did you ever have any similar experience?
Oh, yeah, very much like that. And we used to do that on the Tour de France as well, because, you know, you'd have 140 riders and all of the support crews and teams and media and what have you and spectators. And they'd finish in some tiny little ski town on top of a mountain with one road going down. And so you always listen to hear when the convoy was getting ready and they'd sound a horn, 3 minutes, 2 minutes, 1 minute. And then, yeah, we'd wind on down and, you know, folks would jump the queue and all that sort of thing. But you did not want to miss that because you had all of these fans, you know, who'd camped out on the edge of a cliff to watch the riders come up the hill. They all wanted to get their campers down the hill as well. So, yeah, it's those police escorts are fun, but they can be pretty darn chaotic.
Hey, we got another caller, Kenny, on the line. We're about to go off the air, but Kenny, you wanted to get a question from California.
Yes, sir. Hey, how do they get all the equipment around the world, the trucks and all the other team equipment that they use? And what are those buildings that they seem to set up at every track? Are they portable units that house for all the different teams?
Yeah, you're absolutely right. They just put it all in a Sprinter. No, they don't. They actually charter several 747s to take all the equipment. And something that Bernie Eccleston put in place, he actually owns Biggin Hill and Airport in London. And so it's all packed up. But in fact, they've started to actually take less equipment to each and every race. So the F1 Pro guys and some of the guys you'll see often do the commentary and their work from Biggin Hill in London remotely. So, but the big stuff, the cars, et cetera, go on 747 planes, right?
And it's great fun to watch, but they do not. The transporters, the big, beautiful trucks, do not travel outside of Europe.
We're going to finish the show. We got Christian Horner on the line. Christian Horner, a last comment from him on his day.
So, Christian, we spoke to you on the grid before the race, and you said top five was sort of the realistic target. So how unexpected was a win from 10th for Max?
Yeah, totally unexpected. So a phenomenal drive, a great teamwork, great strategy. You know, we had a couple of issues that we had to nurse during the race, but we got on top of them. And, I think that was right up there with one of Max's best races.
And the guys in the studio were saying he did a Danny Sullivan. He had a spin to win as well. I mean, what happened there?
I mean, a complete 360. I think it was just warming the tyres up. But, of course, it meant he had to pass Charles not once, but twice. So it felt a little bit like, the opposite of what happened to us in our home race in Austria.
Yeah, at which point did you feel like this race was there for the taking, though, that you could win it?
I think as soon as I saw a set of tyres with white white sidewalls on them, go onto the Ferrari of Charles, I thought, okay, you know, we know that they're going to be hard to get going. We're on the medium, we take advantage of that. And Max made it work and was able to really control the race thereafter.
And a word on Checo's race as well, because he did come through the field slightly, but did the VSC hurt him at the end there? Did you think he was going to get Carlos?
I felt that he got a real go at Carlos and at George. You know, he was a second a lap quicker in the closing laps of the race and, you know, coming at them strong. So the VSC just took the steam out of that a bit. But, again, another strong recovery from him. Moves him very close in points to Charles now. So, you know, time for a well-earned rest in the shutdown and come back fully charged up for after the break.
Well, there you go. We got the main man talking. My thanks to Les Kaiser, as always, Bob Varsha, Chris Medland, as ever, doing a brilliant job at the Hungaro Ring. We hope you've enjoyed our coverage here on SiriusXM. I'm Jonathan Green. John will be back in the hot seat next week. And I say next week because we're off for a couple of weeks. We're going to take our summer break. We're going to take a spa. And we'll see you at Spa Francorchamps next time out. Bye-bye for now.
Ciao, y'all.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's a new year, and it's time to get your picks in 26 with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop Bob's for hot new styles featuring the latest technology, like stylish sleeper sectionals with immersive Bluetooth audio, relaxing reclining sofas with LED lighting, and fabulous fireplaces with mood lighting and speakers, all at Bob's everyday low prices, of course. So if you want to refresh your room for less, save big by stopping in or shopping online at Bob's Discount Furniture.
Oh, could this vintage store be any cuter?
Right? And the best part? They accept Discover.
Accept Discover? In a little place like this? I don't think so, Jennifer.
Oh, yeah, huh? Discover's accepted where I like to shop. Come on, baby, get with the times.
Right, so we shouldn't get the parachute pants?
These are making a comeback. I think.
Discover is accepted at 99% of places that take credit cards nationwide. Based on the February 2025 Nielsen report.
Making plans with asthma can be awful. It always goes from, that sounds fun, to, in this weather, what if my asthma acts up? I got tired of saying no, so my doctor suggested Dupixent. I'm Rachel, and I'm sponsored by Regeneron and Sanofi to share my story with real patients like me.
Dupixent, dupilumab, is an add-on prescription maintenance treatment for adults and children 6 years and up with moderate to severe eosinophilic or oral steroid-dependent asthma that's not controlled with current asthma medicines. Dupixent is not for sudden breathing problems.
Dupixent helps people breathe better in as little as 2 weeks. And now, I don't even think twice about saying yes to plans more, rain or shine.
Severe allergic reactions, including skin reactions, can occur. Get help right away for face, mouth, tongue, or throat swelling, wheezing, or trouble breathing. Tell your doctor right away of signs of inflamed blood vessels like rash, chest pain, worsening shortness of breath, brown or dark-colored urine, tingling or numbness in limbs. Tell your doctor of new or worsening skin symptoms, joint aches and pain, or a parasitic infection. Don't change or stop other treatments without talking to your doctor.
Do more with less asthma. Ask your asthma specialist about Dupixent by name. Visit Dupixent.com or call 1-844-DUPIXENT.
At Graybar, we know your time is money. That's why our services go beyond parts and products. With kitting, pre-assembly, wire carts, and Graybar smart reels that keep you moving. We stage materials and manage logistics so you can spend less time sorting and more time installing. And with locations nationwide, we deliver when and where you need it, working to make your job easier every step of the way. Yep, Graybar does that.